Just entering into his presence, doing some worship, spending some time fellowshipping, hearing what he has to say. You know, every year, Apostle is so gracious. He allows me an opportunity to have this last service so I can just share with you where I think the Lord's going to be taking us in the next year. We have seen, I don't know how many years this has been going on, quite a while. Lord's very good, always, always very good. And when we grab hold of that word and we carry it all the way through the year, we see some amazing things. This last year was a year of listening. And as we listened, there were some fantastic things that happened. I mean, there's new things going on in Africa. We were able to do ministry in the slums of Nairobi. We listened. We got a daycare that is functioning by April. If not before, we will be up to 44 children. 44 children. You know, we have a purchase agreement. I saw designs on the hotel on Friday. You know, God is just, when we listened, and there are many testimonies and stories that can come out of that listening. We hear about, and we heard Andrea's testimony about listening when God put somebody in front of her, about Lori, and this is the time and what their business is. That we can go through each one of you and hear things that God's been doing in that year of listening. You know, I just tell you, you got one day left, okay? Listen up tomorrow, okay? Because he's going to be sharing about what Mike has listened. He's got some things that are unfolding. It's just some amazing things. Kylie's listened. I got a peek at her book. Amazing stuff. I'm not going to tell you what's in there, but it's really good, okay? So there's all kinds of stuff that's been happening. So I'm so excited to be able to take you where we're going to go this year, okay? Now, I want to set this up. I'm going to give you the word, then I want to go on the platform. I'm going to give you the application, okay? This is the word. When I get up there, that's the application. I want you to get the difference, how we apply it, what it is, and then how we apply it. But I want to share with you how we got up to this word, okay? What led up to it? And I'll try to be quick, but I tend to never be quick, and you know that, so just be patient with me. And if you have to leave, I get it. Okay, so since October, many of you have heard me say, I am stuck in Acts 17:6. And in 17:6, it's the last part of that verse, and it says, Let me read it. Because I want to make sure I get the phraseology right for you. And just get 17:6, the last part, it says, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither. And it's like get stuck in my craw, if I can use some southern terminology. Renee can connect with that. Okay, so I just get stuck. It's stuck in there. I just can't get away from this verse. And I'm like, Lord, okay, so what is it? What do I do with that? Where do we go? And how do we get to that part? How do we get to be a people that they're going to say that about us? How do we get there? And some of you have, I've talked to about being an Acts 4 people versus being an Acts 2 people. And we might hit some of that this morning, but in Acts 4, they were praying, the group of believers, this was after Pentecost in Acts 2, and they had gathered together and they had prayed and they asked the Lord for three things. You know, Lord, they're praying together. Let us speak boldly, right? Let your hand move and heal people. And they're praying, Lord, we want your hand to move to heal people, and then we want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. And as they were praying those things together, it says that the house that they were in was shaken. I'm listening to that song, and it talks about shake those walls, the song with confidence. It was a perfect song for this morning. We're going to shake those walls, because that's what it says in Acts 4. It says that the walls of the house that they were in shook, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they went out, and they spoke boldly. And from that point on, we're seeing signs and wonders, amazing things. People were raised from the dead. People were healed. Demons were cast out. It was amazing stuff. And I'm like, okay, I know that's part of this. And I was reading one day, and this verse was dropped into me. And this is a very familiar verse, okay? This is holds the key to our word for the year. It's Matthew 18, and Shirt and Tail, you could put up, Kathy Ann. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. Okay? And I'm like, okay, so... yeah, because those people in Acts 4, they were praying together about those three things. This verse is telling me if we agree on anything, if there's two of us that agree on anything, we can ask. And in my head, I'm thinking that means that we can ask for those three things. We ought to be able to, this tells us he'll be answering us. And, you know, I don't know if it's when you're reading, but when I'm reading, certain words stick out to me. And when that I keep coming back to that same word over and over and over again, I know I got to go look it up in the Greek. And a word "gree" again was sticking out to me like a neon sign. So I go to the Greek, and that word in the Greek actually means symphonia. Symphony. So stay with me, because you're like, oh my gosh. Because our word for the year is a year of symphony. Now, most of us would look at each other, because we're not a symphony kind of group, probably most of us, right? Like we're hunters, we're fishermen, we're carpenters. We're crafters. I mean, let's just be honest. A group as a whole, we're not real symphony people, right? I mean, we love worship like this. That ain't symphony music, right? Do you agree? Okay. So don't turn your noses up, okay? Because I want to talk to you about symphony. It's a year of symphony. That's our word for the year. And Shirt Tail, go ahead, because it says if two of you agree on anything, so I put the word symphony in there, and I said, again, I say to you that if two of you symphony together on anything on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for you. If you symphony together with another person, you're going to get it done. That's basically what that verse says. Now, I'm going to step up to the platform, and I'm going to give you the application, because I want you to understand symphony. But while we do that, I want you to hear the sounds of a symphony. This I've asked, and Elizabeth was gracious enough. She's with family today, and Adam, bless his heart, stayed with the worship team. And beautiful worship today, guys. And Danielle. Not Aunt Danielle. That's not what I meant. And just saying, guys, all of you. That means you too. Okay. So they put this. I asked her to put a clip together, just 30 seconds. Because before I give you the application, I want you to hear a symphony. So that, and not that you haven't heard a symphony before, but this symphony is Beethoven's number 3. And it is acclaimed to be the best written symphony that was ever written in history. 30 seconds. I just want you to hear it, and then I'm going to give you the application of what this really looks like and what this word means for us, okay? If you would just play it, Shirt Tail. Play it loud enough that they can hear it. Good. Gives you just one little bit. Now a real symphony. And so when I get words like this, I want to really understand all that there is to it, okay? So I'm going to give you the definition of a symphony, and then we're going to talk about the different parts of a symphony. And I think in those different parts, or what makes up a symphony, we're going to find together how we can agree. We're going to find together how we can apply this for Acts 4 so that we can have those things happen that they had happen. And it's this next year, okay? It's coming. Apostle, when he came back from Africa this year, and some of you have heard him say this from the pulpit, he said, he told us even before we left Africa, he said, I'm not going back again until I can have more of a demonstration of power. Of what God does. Physical demonstration of power. I'm not coming back before that happens. And that triggered this whole pursuing this Acts 17 and this all of this Acts 4. But the definition, an elaborate, I love that word, elaborate. There's layers. You know what? There's layers that God is doing. I can't even get off the definition. I'm already talking about this stuff. This is elaborate. Think about when you think about something elaborate, there's layers of depth to it. An elaborate drawing is just not one line. There's layers. There's textures. There's different colors. There's all these different pieces to it. So the word a symphony, an elaborate musical composition. So it's a song. Bible says you're going to have a new song. He says, stick with me in the Psalms. It's Jules Horde rendition. Stick with me, and I'm going to create in you a new song. Okay? And it's going to be elaborate. It says elaborate musical composition. Full orchestra, that's going to be crucial here when we talk about agreeing with two. Full orchestra, that means that there's no part left out. That means you have a percussion session, the section. That means that you have a woodwind section where you have you've got clarinets, you've got oboes, you've got a bassoon, you've got flutes, you've got all these different, you've got the horn section. Says a full orchestra. That's part of the definition. It's crucial, okay? Typically in four movements. Not always, but most of the time it's in four movements. And when I think about our year of symphony, I just believe that these four movements, we're going to see that there is going to be divided. There's four quarters in a year, okay? So we're going to see different things in each quarter unfold, and a typical symphony has four parts. It has an allegro, which is pretty brisk, pretty fast moving. And if you've been hanging out at any portion, if we just look at the daycare, we know things are moving along really quick, and we have to be pretty brisk about getting stuff done if we're going to get to our 44 kids by April. That's just one little piece of Allegro, of being brisk in the first quarter. We're having to talk to a drywaller so that we can get the drywall up in 3 weeks. That's pretty fast compared to what we would do it if we did it ourselves, right? The second portion is adagio, which is slower. And now this is, so if the brisk part, the allegro, is January, February, March, then we've got the adagio, the slower, just steady pace in April, May, and June, okay? Kind of catch our breath, regroup, because what comes in July, August, and September, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, scherzo? Is that how you pronounce it, Seth? Scherzo? Sure, I think so. Scherzo? It's playful. Perfect for Traverse City in July and August, right? September. We're going to have a season of playful fellowship, enjoying each other, interacting. And then in the last October, November, December, it's rondo. It's the finale. And the finale is robust. And it pours in, it pulls in sections of everything that we've heard in the last year. In the other three sections, it all pulls it into this. Now, what has that got to do with us and what does that look like? Well, when I was stewing on this and I'm thinking, okay, that's all good, and I get the seasons, I get the four quarters, and I get the different time sequence of things and how the months are going to go, Lord. But what is the elaborate full orchestra piece? And that's when I started to think about, because I was in a band, albeit not a good member, okay? I mean, I'm the one that dropped my horn in the middle of the Christmas concert. You know what it's like? You're supposed to be holding your horn in your lap, and you drop it to the floor in a gym on a wooden floor, and it echoes through the whole, you know. I mean, I got this big dent in the bottom of the horn. I mean, I wasn't a good member, but I understand members, okay? And there are four types of members in an orchestra. And I want to talk about these four because if we're going to get to a place where we are agreeing together in symphony, which is harmonious, it's harmony, it means that we're all playing a different part. We're not playing all the same part. We're not unison. We're not all singing. You know, when in years ago, and some of you who are my age have been in church your whole life, you'll get this. You ever get when you stand up and it's all in unison and everybody, they'd pass the offering plate and everybody would sing the doxology, you know, all in unison? We're not talking about unison. We're not talking about each of you agreeing and doing the same exact thing. Because many times when we've heard that verse, and I think if you're like me, there's many times when I've read that verse and I think, oh, if we agree together. So if Diane and I get together and we decide, you know, we're going to pray over something, okay? We're together, we're grabbing our hand, we're like, oh, Lord, you know, we're here together. Lord, we just need you to do blah, 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 blah. We're basically doing the same thing. That's not what this word is. It's not what it means to say agree, but would you agree with me that that's kind of what you think about when you hear that verse? Yeah? That's not what that verse is. That verse is not talking about unison. If you look up the Greek for that word is, in the Greek, is harmony, which means Diane is doing something and I'm doing something. And in a symphony, that might mean that Diane is a percussionist and I am a delicate flute player. Nobody. Boy, you guys are slow on that. Okay? I got Danielle, okay? Yeah, I know. Okay. So see, in symphony, if we're going to be harmonious and if we're going to get to an elaborate full orchestra, if we want to get to the point where God will pour out the last part of this verse for us, that whatever we ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That means that each of us, and this is going to sound like a broken record, but that means that each of us has to be doing our unique part. And when we each are doing our own unique part in 2019, that means that then when we go to Acts 4 and we say, we are in harmony together, we are in symphony together, Lord, because we understand the uniqueness of who we are and who you created me to be, and I know my part in the orchestra, then we can, as a body, go to him and say, we want these three things, just like they asked for in Acts 4. We want to speak boldly. We want your hand to move in healings. And we want to see miracles and signs and wonders unfold. And it says that he will grant that for us. That is a place for an amen. Why didn't you just give me an amen? Yeah, slacker when you're in the pew. Okay, so, but I want to talk about four places in the orchestra that you may be sitting. Because there's some of us who are not elaborate, or we are not full orchestra. We're not being used to our potential. And there are, when I think about this, and this is just from my own band experience, and so, like, Carson and you guys, you're going to have to just bear with me, okay? But there's, when I was in the band, there would be times that we would do a song, and the conductor would make me, I had this cone thing, okay? And he'd make a stick it in the end of my horn, okay? You following me? And it muted the noise. I wasn't able to really sound like a horn. I was muted. It was awful. It was awful. Okay? Do you know? Don't do sound effects. Okay. I'm just telling you, it was awful. There are some of us. There are some of us in the congregation who are muted. There are some of you who walk in on Sunday morning, and you're here on Sunday morning, and you sit and you do worship. You might not even say anything. You might not even sing. I don't know. I'm not paying attention to you. But there's some of you that come in, you're here on Sunday morning, and then you leave. We hear nothing from you. We know nothing of what's going on in your life the rest of the week. Don't hear any testimonies. And I just might be Paul, like, up, if you were in Sunday school or growing time this morning, we were doing 1 Corinthians, and Paul kind of slapped some people around. So we might just be hanging out in a little bit of that Corinthian kind of thing for some of this morning. But this is important. God has big things for us, and if we're going to get there, we have to be in symphony together, and that means a full orchestra. So there's some of you who are muted. There's some of you that, even if you're here, you're not opening your mouth. You're not giving input. You are challenged even to just to step up and say, initiate somebody saying, going and saying hello to somebody. You wait for somebody to come to you. We're supposed to be a church family. We're supposed to be a fellowship. Everybody should have a voice. Everybody should know where your passion is. Everybody knows he doesn't get cranked with worship, but he gets cranked with preaching. We ought to be able to do that with each one of us. What is it that gets you excited about God's kingdom? But you're muted. We cannot have muted people. We've got to be able to take that crazy cone out of the end of your horn and get you engaging in some fashion, whether it is out in the community as a marketplace minister or if it's here in the house. We need to unmute you. The second one is you're out of tune. Now, there's some instruments, like an accordion. It never has to be tuned. It's a pre-tuned instrument. Most instruments in the symphony have to be tuned. And what that usually looks like is before you start, this is when you, have you ever been, gone into the gymnasium when the bands of the school are about to play and they're all kind of, you know, and then the conductor settles everybody down and he starts pointing to the winds and he winds, you know, like the clarinet section, and he has them play a note, or he goes to the trombones and he has them play a note, and then they adjust their sound. He's tuning them so we're all on the same sound. Nobody's out of pitch. There are some of us who are trying very hard to find our place, but because we have things in our life that is hindering us, we're out of tune yet. We're trying hard. We want to fit in. We want to be used how God wants us to be used. But man, don't ask me to get in the chair. Or maybe if I get in the chair once, as far as deliverance and stuff, or inner healing and working through that stuff, nope, 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 you're just hitting too close to home. I ain't going back. Not happening. And so what happens is our heart, we're trying. We want to be there. We want God to use us, but we're not tuned in perfectly with where the Spirit wants to take us or how he wants to use us, and we stick out. We just don't fit in with the rest of the sound. So there's some of us that are out of tune. There's some of us that need to finish getting, your passion is there, but passion doesn't get it all. You have to get rid of the stuff that is hindering you getting to the perfect pitch, and so there is perfect harmony. That's number two. Number three, there's some of you are just awful cranky. You're just cranky. And when I say cranky, there are, I got in trouble one time. I'm just going to tell you this. Okay, so you understand what cranky is. Okay, cranky is you don't want to fit in. You don't like the sound that's being played. You don't like the programs. You don't like what he's preaching. You don't like the fact that we've did a daycare and you can't get into the church when you get into the church. You just don't like what's going on, and you're just going to make your own sound and nobody's going to tell you anything. So you're an instrument. So when I was in high school, okay, oh my gosh, this is an idea of cranky. I'm in the trumpet section. We're in the band room. And we were on the top tier. And it was Christmas time. Very appropriate for right now. And this band director, Mr. Jinx was his name. Very appropriate. Okay, Mr. Jinx. And he picks this most awful Christmas song of ever. I mean, of all the beautiful Christmas songs, of all the things that you could do, he picks this thing that, I don't know, he must have got it from another planet, because it was nowhere close to anything Christmas I had ever heard or seen. Okay? And so he's working with one of the groups down front. Maybe it was the flute. And I'm in the back row. And I'm not thinking about sound echoing, you know. And one of the guys next to me says, he whispers, he says, "This really sucks." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, it sucks bad." Although I wasn't as quiet as he was. And that, go figure, who said it? Cindy! Cindy! So it echoes all the way down to the conductor, Mr. Jinx. And he then, from, I didn't even get to play that, and he made me, I was not a part of that song even when we were in the concert. And he was right. I was a cranky instrument. I was not wanting to follow him, even though he was the conductor. It was his choice to pick whatever song he wanted. Sometimes we don't like what the conductor is doing. Apostle is our conductor. God is the owner of the orchestra. That's what I want you to, we are the symphony. He's the conductor. God put him here. The owner of the symphony is God. The owner calls when you play, where you play. He speaks to the conductor about what he likes to hear. And then the conductor's supposed to make sure that we get all of the instruments in line to do what the owner wants to hear. But if we have cranky instruments who could care less, who just want to do what they want to do, they want to get their underwear in a bunch and get mad over something and stomp around and whatever, we cannot have a full orchestra. We can't get there. We're not going to be in symphony together. And then the last one, and I'm just trying to speed this along so I don't take a lot of time this morning, but the last one is these orchestra members who are in step. You're disciplined artists. You practice your music. You figure out what your part is, and when you're by yourself, you practice. You get together with others, instrument your other section, your other trumpets, and think of your section as some of your gifting. Maybe you're healers, maybe you're word of knowledge, maybe you're prophetic, maybe you're service people. I mean, you want to talk about service people? It's our group, our sectional of service people who have gotten us this far along with the daycare. If it hadn't been for our service section, we would not even have our doors open yet. And everyone who has put in labor into doing that. And there's a sectional leader. And on that one, I'm telling you, Jesse is doing a phenomenal job. Do you know that we have this waiting list of kids lined up waiting for us to be able to get to 44? We have parents. I just want to throw this in here this morning because I want you to know what's going on. We have parents who literally, this isn't the best setup. When you've got infants and toddlers all in this tight space, and if you have stuck around after service on Sunday when they have put in all the toys and everything back in there, it is a packed room. But we have parents who have literally said, we know it's not an ideal setup, but we know that our kids are loved and well cared for. And we will wait until you get that basement open. That is a group of a sectional in the symphony that are disciplined. They're honing their gifting. They're honing who God called them to be. They figured out what it is that's their thing in the house, in the orchestra, and the symphony, and they're doing it with full vim and vigor. See, there's some of us who, you know, we don't, oh my gosh, I am telling you, I was never, when I was growing up, my oldest sister took piano lessons. My youngest sister took piano lessons. My parents were like, yeah, we'll pay for you. You can take piano lessons. I didn't have it in me, and I knew I didn't have it in me. I ain't got time to sit at that piano hour after hour. I got other things I wanted. I want to talk to people. I got time to sit at piano. Practice. Don't even waste your money on that. Love music. But I knew I wasn't disciplined enough to do that. That wasn't my thing. See, when you understand where you fit in the orchestra and what your part is and who God called you to be and designed you to be so that we can agree together, then along with that comes discipline. You have to apply yourself. That means that there's going to be some hard work behind the scenes that nobody else sees or hears. The great guitarist does not just all of a sudden show up and voila, I am here and I am fantastic. They have put in thousands of hours behind the scenes when nobody else was seeing it. They started off plucking the strings, and they had to toughen up their fingers and get calluses on them so that they could do the work and put the hours in. There's a lot of us who we just want to be that cranky thing or the mute thing or be out of tune because we don't want to discipline ourselves to be in fully in step, because that takes sweat and time and effort. But it is when the orchestra is in full agreement, harmonious agreement, each of us doing our unique part. There will be others who are kind of like you, the service people, for instance, but they're not exactly like you. You have to find your unique part. You have to understand who you are if we're going to get into agreement, if we're going to create a year of symphony so that we can take this verse and say, Lord, we want to be an Acts 4 church, and we need to see it. And you promised you did it for the disciples, you'll do it for us. Now, I want to give you, I just want to read this to you for a minute. Just think about this as we wrap up this morning. The seed for our miracles, the seed, seed, S-E-E-D. Everything starts with a seed. You're here because somebody put a seed into you, whether it was your parents, whether it was a spouse, a family member, whether it was a friend. You are in this house because somebody put a seed into you. The seed, okay, for our miracles, or you could say the healings that you're going to pour out, Lord, or, and I'm just giving you some examples, okay, so just quit writing for a minute, okay? It's going to be the seed for our miracles, but we're going to use the word miracles to encompass, okay, speaking boldly, God moving his hand for healings and seeing signs and wonders. We're just going to wrap that for this statement. I just want to wrap that into miracle, okay? The seed for our miracles is sown, you know, a seed has to be purposefully sown into your identity as a unique child of God. The seed for our miracles, the seed for our Pine Grove miracles in 2019 is sown into your identity as a unique child of God. Now, don't tell me, oh, you just don't know what's going on in my life, Jules. Let me tell you a story about what happened this week. This was amazing. Betty, she had a reconstructive surgery. She got infections. Doctor said she needs to be in the house for a while. So she's in her house, other than getting out, going to the doctor. Didn't stop her. She understands her identity. She didn't sit at home and say, woe is me. She didn't say, I got nothing I can do because I can't really talk into people because I'm at home. She's going to her doctor, and as she's going to doctors, she's talking to them and still giving her witness. Now, she went to see her reconstructive surgeon. He's a plastic surgeon, but he's doing the reconstruction. And she's telling him all about the hotel. She is refusing to be muted. Her circumstance is not controlling the sound that's coming out of her instrument. Do you get this? She understands who she is. God's given me, this is her, God's given me a ministry of speaking to these physicians, and I'm just going to keep it up. So she goes in there. She talks to this plastic surgeon. She's telling him all about the hotel. Now, this guy, I've never watched the show, but I've got on online now that she's told me this, and I've read up on it. Yeah, some of you watch the show on TV, The Doctors? Yes, no? This doctor has been on this physician in town, Dr. Smith, has been on the doctors twice. So there's national recognition there. Kind of interesting when you think that our team that's working for us is telling us we're going to franchise this. We're going to franchise this. We're going to franchise this. Isn't it kind of helpful to have a doctor calling who's already been on the doctors, has national recognition? This Dr. Smith says to Betty, we need to talk to Jules. We need to be on the top of the list for getting our patients into the hotel. My patients come from all over the nation. They fly into Traverse City for me to treat them. They're here for weeks at a time. Are we doing the shuttle? Isn't Pine Grove doing the shuttle? My patients don't even have transportation to get around Traverse City because they're flying in. You see how God is working behind the scenes? He's always multitasking on our behalf. I can't stress that enough. Do you see all the little fingers, all those little pieces that God put together? All not happening if one of the instruments in the orchestra is muted or does not recognize their identity or who God's called them to be. Or is not tuned in to what is going on, even if they're not sitting in the house on Sunday morning. Or who chooses to be cranky because things aren't going my way because I'd rather be in service and I can't be, or whatever else is, you know, giving you a sore saddle, a burr under your saddle. And don't tell me I don't know what it is. I don't know where I fit. Don't even tell me that, because I'm here to tell you that it takes persistence. It takes just an ongoing. When somebody says to me, I'm going to fall off the step. When somebody says to me, I just don't know what I am. I don't know. And in my head, I haven't said it to you, but I'm going to say it now. I'm thinking to myself, have you called? Have you come sat down with me? Have you come sat down with one of the elders? Have you come sat down with apostle? Have you been persistent? Have you kept pressuring like the widow who went to the judge and kept saying, help me get there, help me get there, help me get there? Because the Bible says that because of persistence, the judge granted her request. Not because the judge was thrilled what was going on, but because of her persistence. So I'm going to push it back on you, and I'm going to say in this year of symphony, if you want to get to a place where we as a body are in symphony, we're in agreement together so that we can go to the Father and this verse, and we can say it back to him, Father, in Matthew 18, you said if we were in symphony together that we could ask and that you would grant it for us. And what we're asking is Acts 4, 29 and 30 and 31, because what we want is to speak boldly, and what we want is for your hand to move in healings, and what we want is to see signs and wonders and miracles going on, and we want the walls of our house to shake, and we want the Holy Spirit to settle on us in a way that we have not witnessed before. And you said that you would do it, you did it for them, and you will do the same for us, because you're not a respecter of persons. Then my gosh, give it to us. But it's not going to happen if you just want to sit in your chair over the next year and say, well, I just don't know. I'm just not sure what my identity is. And you don't pursue it. Because I'm just going to tell you, You know who I make time for? And I don't know how we make time. And I'm speaking for elders. I'm speaking, you guys will know. If you call and say, we need to talk to you this week, we will make it happen. I have done it. I can't even tell you. If God just protected me, because I'll cancel students. You tell me you need to meet me and the only time you can be here is 3:00 in the afternoon, then fine, let's meet. Let's make it happen. So don't sit there and tell me, I just don't know. I just can't figure it out. How hungry are you? How badly do you want to be the disciplined artist? How badly do you want to see God move on your behalf? It's a passion of mine, this persistence piece. We've got to pour that into our pores. It has got to become who we are. Where is that Benjamin Creed? We don't give up, we don't quit, we don't bend, we don't break, we don't stop, we don't back up. So we have a choice, because when the seed of miracles is poured in, it's sown. It's purposeful. God said it's there, and he put it into you to be a part of the full orchestra. It is sown into your identity as a unique, harmonious. Those are all words found in that symphonia. Child of God. That's where we're going in 2019. And to get to Acts 4, we have to be living Matthew 18. This is no longer thinking that this verse is just, we're going to pray, oh yes, we just want so-and-so healed. Because that's not what it's about. It's about when Diane is doing her mending hearts and doing her evangelism, and it's when I'm doing my prophetic word, and it's when Dave is being the encourager, and it's when Joel is being the worshiper, and it's when people who are service people and people with words of knowledge are being people of words of knowledge, and people with compassion, and it's when the givers, we have givers, it's when Kylie's writing. That makes a full orchestra. Symphony. That's where we're going. That's our word. And even when you first hear it, just like I said, we think, oh, that doesn't really fit for us, but it does fit for us. It probably fits for us. At least in my mind, it probably fits better here than probably any other church in Traverse City. Because we understand what we're chasing after, the fullness that God has and he intends. And he wants us to demonstrate it. And it's available for each of us. I'm excited about it. John, I want you to play that 30 seconds one more time. Then I'm going to have the worship band come up, close us out. I want you to, wait a minute, just wait a minute. Just hold on for me. Just wait a minute. Just hold on a minute. Back up. Okay. Scoot it back to the beginning because it's only 30 seconds. Okay. Okay. So just ignore it for a minute. Okay. There's some of, we have guests this morning. Pastor Dan. Pastor Shannon, Brent with us to Africa. you know that, and I know that some of you have words for them, so I want you to just give that to them before we leave. Apostle, if you would just, just get a couple people, two or three people up here. I don't care where you're at, whether you're muted, whether you're out of tune, whether you're cranky, or maybe even if you're a disciplined artist, but you want more. You just want to hone your craft, your gifting, what you're listening. We're going to have the worship band come up. I'm going to have them just play one, sing, just close us out in benediction. If you know that one of those areas that you really need to focus on, then just let them speak over you before you leave today. It's the 30th of December. We have an opportunity to start fresh, renew what God's called us to, poured into us, expecting out of us, wants to do on our behalf as we move into a year of symphony. If you'd just, Shirt Tail, if you'd just play it, and worship, if you'd band, if you'd come.